On Wednesday's Zone Daily, the anatomy of an offensive lineman from our guy Ramon Foster, who takes you inside the mind of the big men up front for the Tennessee Titans and beyond at the NFL. Two roster moves for the Tennessee Titans, and looking ahead to Tennessee and Florida, Tennessee's path to just keeping this a two-possession game in the first half, which would be a success for Josh Heupel. Wednesday on the Zone Daily starts right now.
Yesterday's headlines, tonight's topics, and one big story you need to know. This is the Zone Daily Podcast with Will Bowling.
If you watched the Titans game against the Seahawks on Sunday, you noticed Freddie Swain running away from people that were not in the same zip code as the Tennessee Titans defense. The man that was responsible possibly for that and many other mistakes in Seattle has been released. Bradley McDougald, along with defensive lineman Anthony Rush. Those were the two roster moves yesterday by the Tennessee Titans. McDougald started Sunday's game against the Seahawks, playing in 40 of the team's 54 defensive snaps. He was credited with two tackles because he was mainly running after players when they already had the ball, not covering them before they caught the ball. Rush was signed by the Titans back in July after previously spending time with the Eagles, Raiders, Seahawks, Bears, Packers. He is a journeyman that's only been here for a couple of years as an undrafted free agent from UAB in the 2019 draft. He will reportedly be replaced by Naquan Jones, not Daquan Jones, of course. Naquan Jones, a Michigan State undrafted rookie that this Titans staff liked a lot. He has spent some time on the practice squad. He will reportedly make the jump to the 53-man roster, according to Justin Mello of Broadway Sports Media on Twitter. So, as we look ahead to Tennessee Titans and Indianapolis Colts this weekend, of course, the story as well, ankle injuries on both ankles for Carson Wentz going into this weekend. I would not expect him to play, but if he does, he is not going to be mobile. He's not going to be a dynamic playmaker, and you can make the argument the guy's not been a dynamic playmaker in a little while. Since that really good year he had a couple of seasons ago for the Philadelphia Eagles. I enjoyed this conversation yesterday on 3HL. Ramon Foster was out with us. Hendersonville Buffalo Wild Wings for our Titans football feast. Going inside the mind of an offensive lineman. Don Davenport asked the question, why are offensive linemen so intellectual, so smart? I feel like offensive linemen are the ones who are the smartest guys in the football team. And Ramon had a thought-provoking answer that I think speaks to the cohesion a lot of these Titans have up front, and how this team as a unit still continues to not have Pro Bowl players and still block for the best running back in the NFL. Here's Ramon Foster on the mindset and the mentality and also the uniqueness of the offensive line position in the game of football.
Ron was asking me something yesterday about offensive linemen, like, What do you guys do as far as like five is one? Like if somebody's having a bad day, like nobody steps outside the ring and be like, hey, y'all better go talk to him, because it's the only group I think in all sports. Basketball, especially AAU,
yeah.
A bad NBA team, bad college team, five stars can go to one team and turn around the whole team. One player can turn around the whole team. There's not any other sport, I think, besides offensive linemen, any other position where five got to go as one. Two can be going this way, but the other three need to be doing that. So because of that, you build a bond, you build a relationship, you know how to talk to people. Guy I played with, David DeCastro, didn't talk at all. But by the time he got into the fold, gained trust of us, we trusted him back, he's as talkative as anybody else, but we wouldn't talk outside the group. And because of that, you find bonds, you're able to communicate better. Everybody got – that's what I think the difference is. And besides that, nobody really says much to us, the biggest group on the field. You know, one of those type of things where – they hate to see us coming because we are one. Like, we get so much and we talk so much. Like, the thing about the offensive line, we'll have intricate conversations about the war in Iraq or politics or your kids or, man, what are it's the smallest things. And you grow a bond. You get so close to one another to where you got to start kind of having arguments. One thing we used to do is play devil's advocate. Like, we were so much alike in one group, like I said, to where we talk so much where I can't agree with you today, Brent. You said it's rainy outside. No, it's sunny today, Brent. Bad. You got a white car. No, that car is beige. But that's because it challenged you to be intellectual, challenged you to find something else to grow. And that type of stuff right there you compound that and you end up with a special type of group. And that's why I feel like most O-linemen finally like take advantage of highlighting themselves behind the mic, though.
I think that's a really interesting point, and I think that Ramon brings up a part of the Titans offense that I think goes under the radar on Sunday. You had not just one member of the left side of the offensive line making a new start. You had two members, Ty Sambrello and Aaron Brewer, after Roger Saffold went out in that football game. That's what makes this so impressive for this Titans team, is that you had the cohesion. You had these five guys kind of working as one. It's a group of five that hadn't had a lot of reps this offseason. Now, Quisenberry on the right side for the Titans has played a lot, filling in last season, playing some time, filling in for the injured Taylor Lewan. That's a guy that knows that swing tackle position for this Tennessee Titans team as kind of the third tackle behind the front two. But it's impressive what this team was able to do on the ground against Seattle, considering the fact that that group had not had a lot of time, those five together. The five that finished that game might have been one of the first times those five had worked together all offseason. Makes that performance on the ground for Derrick Henry and this Titans offense that much more impressive. So as Tennessee heads to Gainesville this weekend, it's funny to me that the Colts and the Gators games ends up on the same weekend, because in a lot of ways, Florida has been to Tennessee as the Colts have been to the Titans. But the Titans have now found the promised land and are the team to beat in the AFC South. Tennessee, obviously, knew we're close to the 11th-ranked Gators, who gave up 31 points to Alabama on Saturday in the Swamp, but were really good after falling behind 21-3. The Gators would really, really make things tough on Alabama, allowing just 10 points in the final three quarters. And that's 3.3 points per quarter. Some quick math for you. In the first two games this season, Alabama was averaging 12 points per quarter. So Alabama was averaging more per quarter than Florida held them to in multiple quarters at the end of this football game after following down 21-3 at the end of the first quarter. So this team looks really good. They run the ball very well. They are elite on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. That is a very, very bad thing for the University of Tennessee going into Saturday, because if Florida is able to control the football and sustain drives, Tennessee is in trouble. Tennessee is in big trouble, because Tennessee cannot sustain a lot of drives by overthrowing receivers by 5 yards, which we've seen all three quarterbacks now do over the past couple of weeks. And if Tennessee only has the football for 45 seconds to a minute, and Florida is continuing to run the football at will, it is going to get ugly very quickly if Florida can get out to a quick start in this one. The plus side for Tennessee, it's strength on strength in this game, if you want to talk about the strength of this Tennessee defense. Tennessee is giving up just 54 rushing yards per game on the ground through three games this season. That is number five in college football. Last Saturday, Florida rushed for 245 yards in a loss to Alabama. This past week against Tennessee Tech, the Vols running backs on the other side averaged 3.8 yards per carry against Tennessee Tech. And by comparison, Alabama's running backs averaged just 3.9 yards per carry against Florida. So, Tennessee's not going to be able to run the football against the Florida defensive line. And the Tennessee defensive line has to play above its weight against a very good Florida offensive front and a very good running quarterback in Emory Jones, who makes this Florida offense so dynamic and difficult to stop. If Tennessee can pull something out of nothing on the Ronnie Garner side of the football, I think this defensive line can surprise a lot of people this season. This rushing defense was better than a lot of people gave it credit for last year, especially when you talk about only playing SEC opponents. But this is the best rushing offense in the SEC right now that Tennessee is about to see Saturday in the Swamp. Vols have to hope for two things. One, that Florida has a letdown performance after an emotionally draining game against Alabama. I don't think that's going to happen. It's still Tennessee-Florida. It's still a rivalry game, and it's still a Saturday night in the Swamp. The second thing Tennessee has to hope happens is that this defensive line is actually legit. And the fact that it's only played a walk-on center freshman for Bowling Green, one of the worst FCS teams in college football in Tennessee Tech, and a Pittsburgh team that wanted to throw the ball a lot more than they wanted to run it up the middle, hopefully, maybe this Tennessee defense is just good at stopping the run. But this Tennessee offense has to play just a little bit of complementary football. Not a ton. Don't be crazy. Just a little bit to complement what this defense is going to have to do. Because if they don't, this is going to be one of the most lopsided Tennessee-Florida games in recent memory. So that's going to do it for Wednesday's show. We've got more Tennessee discussion coming up tomorrow. We've got our weekly chat with Greg Cosell, the install with Buck Rising and Greg Cosell drops later today. You're going to hear from him about the Seahawks win, about what this team did differently from the first half to the second half. We will play you a portion of that on tomorrow's show. Couple more shows left in the week. It's flying by. It's football season. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Let's get your day started right. The Zone Daily continues tomorrow here on the Zone Podcast Network.